Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to Wired to Hunt's Rut Fresh Radio, bringing you the latest reports from the Whitetail Woods. Presented by First Light, creating proven, versatile hunting apparel for the stand, saddle, or blind. First Light. Go farther, stay longer. And now, your hosts, KC Smith and Tyler Jones.
Welcome to Rut Fresh Radio. I'm your host, KC Smith. The October lull and the acorns are making things tough around the country with some weird weather thrown in there as well. However, man-made food sources seem to be the ticket this late October for killing big, giant bucks. This is Rut Fresh. Let's go.
Welcome to Rut Fresh Radio. I'm your host, Tyler Jones, and I'm sitting next to KC Smith. This podcast is brought to you by First Light, and these two guys are brought to you by the Nebraska Furniture Mart couch.
Oh, man, bringing that back, old school huh? out. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so here we are sitting on the couch looking at a front rolling in, KC. The front has some moisture in it. Maybe some lower temps, but I think more than anything, we're going to see those lower temps hitting later this week. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of anticipation, it seems like, across the country about what's going to happen with this drop. And, you know, as usual, the front's going to hit different points of the country at different times throughout the week here. But I think it's something that is to be noted that there are a lot of people right now that need to be getting on a weather app and checking out when things drop and figuring out via Onyx or whoever they use, where is a place that I can hunt a north wind.
That's exactly right. Figure out what your north wind stand is and get there, because yep. It is coming in from the north-northwest. By the way, after the first front day, oftentimes you get a northeast. So just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. I like those northeasts because it's like the second day and everything's like kind of chilled out pretty good. I'm trying to capitalize on this week. I'm headed up north country from here, go do a little hunting. And we are actually both have been scrambling to increase our personal, on our own properties, our man-made food sources this week. Because in Texas, food plots, you know, you can watch some guys from up north or even in the Midwest, you know, do the food plot thing, and it looks awesome, and I love it. And we do all that work down here, and then you end up with just dirt because the rains don't come, or the rain, what happened in my house at least, I have poor soil, very sandy soil. The rains came, germinated the seeds, and then the oven turned on and cooked all those seeds.
So you have bread?
Yeah, I have all these loaves of bread, and the deer don't eat them. So it's kind of like try and try again down here. So we've been trying to get some food plot stuff out in the ground. I've got some cereal rye to put out this evening.
I love cereal, man.
And it seems as if a lot of people are having success right now on those type of food plots.
Yeah.
So I
So I actually hunted. So we planted a similar time, and mine ended up coming up.
Yeah, yours is better than mine.
I've got a little bit of wheat coming up. It's not that great, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. And Michael and I have sat one time back there, and we had a group of pigs come in, and it sounded like the Cookie Monster was in the field with us. It was they were just eating these little tiny wheat sprouts, mm-hmm. you know, and they were thin. It's like, it's for whatever it's worth, it's tasty enough that hogs will take that big old mouth and eat like one wisp of a wheat, you know, and yeah. at a time. It's like it means enough to them. And I think that deer feel the same way about it. It seems like it.
I just wonder what their little taste buds are like. Yeah. Because I've eaten a lot of things in like just little grass wisps are just about as low as it gets yeah. on the taste scale.
Prefer a soybean to it?
Yeah, I for sure would eat soybeans over that. but this past week, or not this past week, but recently, I also set a food plot on some public, funny enough, that was pretty much just brassicas, which is the northern word for turnips. And
oh, I thought you said brassicas.
Yeah. It wasn't in brassicas, but it was some purple tops and some icicle radish, it looked like. And I have never got to sit and watch deer just do the thing in that, and it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a little insight in the way deer's minds work. They, like, don't stop moving, even though they could just stand in the one place and eat it the whole time. But they just meander all the way through that stuff. And I was just interested to see how they eat that stuff, too, because they don't, like, pull it up and eat the whole green. They don't, like, pull it up and eat the whole, like, tuber or whatever you want to call it, the whole root. They, like, bite the top off and then chew, like, the stalk portion and don't eat the leaves and just throw it down. And then they'll go along and, you know, because they only have teeth on the bottom.
Do you think this is a time of year thing where they would do something different when it got colder or something?
Potentially, but I don't know enough about this stuff, you know, because we don't get to hunt them that often. But it seems as if once it gets really cold, they go to eating the turnip more, from what I've heard, right? But these deer would go around and take them bottom teeth and scrape on the – you could hear them just on those turnips out there scraping off shavings and eating that.
Basically eating dirt.
Yeah, basically. But that video actually is going to come out on the Element YouTube channel here pretty soon. And there was a big buck that came into the turnip plot. We'll just say that. But yeah, man, like it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that those things can be pretty valuable. Because I feel like you never see, you know, deer eating those things around here. But I think they do.
Yeah.
And I think it's just hard to see the deer pressure on a field like that, because they just, you look at it and you're like, oh, nothing's eating that because it's all there still. Well, a decent food plot has more food than the deer can eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyways.
It seems like, at least from my intel, that a lot of people right now are really preferring that green food source, even over corn, as far as like field corn, you know, I guess you'd say. And it seems like it's working. It's for whatever reason, you know. I've heard a lot of people in certain areas have acorns like they've never seen. I know for us around here, we haven't seen just a ton. Even, you know, the other day I had some pretty good success on public land and didn't see hardly any acorns around there. There's a few here and there. And, I mean, that's pretty ideal, right? You know, you can really focus in
on that. Find a hot tree.
Yeah. But it hasn't been just – it seemed like it's just been crazy around here. But I guess if there's enough of them for the deer, then, I mean, there's certainly, like, our trail cameras have been slow the last week or two, I feel like.
They have, man. So, real slow.
Yeah.
And I think that we have trail cameras, you know, in different parts of the country even, and it's that way. So there's some stuff going on. A lot of us need a frost, too.
Yeah.
Because that frost will knock down a lot of that natural browse outside the acorns. You know, it even rots some acorns if you get it cold enough. But you started out talking about this cold front that's coming in. This is like whitetail hype week right now. And I'm about to go hunt it, but I'm a little torn, and I want your advice for everybody here as well, because you've killed 7 bucks already this year. actually, it's not that many, but it's half that.
Oh, hurt my back.
You have...
Don't make me laugh.
you've done some killing, man, and congrats on that. But
thanks,
and I've hunted with you a long time, and I know that you think about this stuff very, very strenuously and make some good decisions. All that to say, We have a cold front rolling through. It's at a good time of year, but it's actually not like top-notch rut dates. It's just on the cusp. Do you treat it differently than a November 6th cold front? Like, say October 30. Like, the 30th is like the heart of the cold front right now, I think.
I think you do.
What do you do different?
I think I still would be hunting two things, and it would be more than likely I would hunt. And, you know, when you show up, the big part of when you show up to a place is taking a little time to understand what's going on. It's like when you get to a riverbed as a fly fisherman, you can go to casting or you can watch for rises.
Yeah.
Or you can flip over rocks. Right?
Yeah. I really try to not have a fly tied on whenever I go.
River. I'm the worst, dude. I can't stand it, dude. I ain't flipping that rock over. Let KC do it.
But
tell me what's going on.
There are times of the year that you just know having a hopper on is going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we're kind of in that.
That's the time I like to fish.
That's so. Right. Me too. We're kind of in that with the.
Yeah, for
we're
sure.
We're becoming Mark Kenyon right now. This fly fishing talk. We better stop.
I know. Well, it is his podcast. I mean,
maybe it resonates.
Yeah. No. So I think that I guess what I'm saying is, outside of seeing what's under the rock or what rises are happening right now in an area, I would go into an area the first afternoon I get there without knowing anything, and I would either hunt a scrape that I can find, or I would hunt deer very similar to early season, just with knowing that they're going to move earlier. So essentially, probably if you could just pick exactly how it goes down, you'd hunt, you know, 100 yards from buck bedding or a bedding area that typically will hold bucks, right? And in between 100 yards towards the food source that they're going to destinate in that night. So that's like ideal for me. Now, I have an idea about the area you're going to potentially, and there may not be a great just food source and there may not be a great pattern of travel. So I think in that case, definitely finding pinches and stuff is going to still be okay. You know, I mean, if you don't have the food source, you don't have the bedding nailed down, then it's going to be okay. I think you could hunt them a lot like a rut in a pinch or a funnel and just hope that deer funnels through there going to food in one way or another or going to a scrape in one way or another. But I just don't know if they're going to be just in a zombie walk yet, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Here's my thoughts on it. My best experience with this, a cold front at this time, is, I believe, 2019 Iowa. Is that right? We were up there?
Yep.
We had a cold front roll through, I believe, on the 28th.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Was the first day it came in. It was like 6 inches of snow. We were freaking out. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, it's so cold. But we saw deer frolicking for one, but the bucks were very aggressive towards one another. They might not have had like hot does, but they were definitely like working things out. And that's what I'm going to try to capitalize on. I feel like my rattling antlers are going to be a big thing.
That's a good idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That is a good idea. Man, do you think that if you stuck a buck decoy out somewhere, it'd be a good idea?
Man, I think so.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe – so we've done Rut Fresh for a few years, and we've interviewed this person on our own podcast a few times as well. But Michael Hunsucker is a big believer in buck decoys – this like last week of October.
Yeah.
I've seen him do it quite a bit. And so like, I think that could definitely be advantageous for a person for
sure.
Yeah. You know, the reason I say that is because Mike is a big buck killer. So I believe when he says things, I believe it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, he is, man.
Yeah. He's not on Rut Fresh this week though. I believe he has been recently.
I think last week.
Yeah. Last week.
Hey, dude, the days, you know,
it gets all confusing. As
Keith Urban said, days go by. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, what a classic song.
Good feeling, man.
Tyler,
good vibes, as you like to say.
Who is on Rut Fresh this week?
So we've got our very own Stephen Ranella. He's going to give us a report from
leading
Oklahoma.
Leading the charge from Oklahoma.
Just a passionate whitetail hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely much more important to him than mule deer hunting.
I believe it, man. He definitely doesn't get to do it as often as he would like, but he does love to pursue America's most popular big game animal.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We've also got Chris B. up in Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. He's a good friend of ours from the past. Not the ghost of Christmas past or the ghost of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, man, Mr. Sam Hogan, right, who's got a report from us from Ohio. And then we also have Dave Skinner, who's just somehow is just always killing these bucks, despite having a beard that I don't know how he sees past. That thing is a mondo. I mean, the dude is just the beardiest of bearded guys.
He's killing beards and bigger bucks, man.
I'm telling you, Kentucky buck slayer for sure. So that's what we've got on the podcast this week, and they've got some good information. These guys are worth listening to, I promise you. They know a lot about killing deer.
Cool. Well, let's get them guys on and see what they have to say about it.
Now on the phone, I've got Steven Ornella from Meat Eater, and his favorite game species is white-tailed deer. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, thank you for keying that up like that. It's going great. Dude, listen, man, we just were down in Oklahoma hunting out of tree stands, man, and I had so much fun. I was just telling my friend Giannis that I can't stop thinking about it. I grew up hunting tree stands. And just being back up there and how much stuff you see, because you're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You slip in there, and then a couple hours later, the whole woods forgot that you're there. Man, you see a lot of stuff.
It's cool, man.
Dude,
it's
our cameramen freak out more about big squirrel footage than they do big deer footage. They love it. You know, the squirrels just come crawling down. They film them. It's just, they know exactly what you're talking about.
I was with Tony Peterson. He had a bobcat come in under his tree, totally unaware. And I don't know, the last time he tried to sneak up on a bobcat, that ain't easy. It was such a blast, man. Well,
that's cool, man. I know Tony was pretty psyched about how everything went. You guys had a little success there, right?
Oh yeah, we did. So we had 4 full days to hunt. We had an extra evening. So what's that make? 4.5 days.
Sounds good.
He got 2 bucks. I hit a spike and lost it. I got a nice little 8-point Michigan 8. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I like it, yeah, man. Bringing the Eastern influence into this thing, you know.
It was great. It was a bummer to lose one, you know, and, you know, I tried to learn lessons from it and all that, but I just hit it too far back, and we looked and looked and went back and looked and looked and looked and just couldn't pull it together.
Sure. Man, it happens. That's bow hunting.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to be close. So what were they doing? Why was that tree such a special place to sit?
Eating, just feeding, chilled out. Like, no, I mean, zero anything of like cruising behavior, zero, you know, no posturing, no interest in does, dude, hot, right? Eating on acorns, checking out beneath persimmon trees, just real leisurely, not traveling.
Yep.
So did you see much as far as like scrapes or rubs? Did it seem like the bucks had been laying down any of that type of sign?
Dude, 2 scrapes about the size of a 2 scrapes. Both had been freshened up, but they weren't as big as my laptop.
Gotcha.
Close together. And like, it's funny because we never saw any sign of that. We saw scrapes. Never saw that buck. And I actually hunted that spot and saw a little 3-inch spike, so he wasn't the culprit. But yeah, they had been done. And Tony, he had run into a couple more. I ran into those two, but the way things went, we never even hunted them heavy.
Yeah, gotcha. So you know, seeing that little bit of sign, but just no interest, the whole country essentially is going to go through a cold front over the next week, and Oklahoma will be the same, with a lot of weather involved as well, a lot of rain in the forecast. What do you think that's going to do to the deer, you know, kind of as we look to the next week?
Well, I'll tell you what Tony Peterson said, and he was definitely the brains behind our operation down there. He does a lot of, you know, he does a lot of public land whitetails, right? And I've been out of that game for a long time. It was funny because the terrible drought down there, so bad, in fact, that like there's a couple little dry, like little pools in a dried up creek bed, just full of all these carp gasping for air. We found a little pool smaller than a car, had 3 beavers living in it. They got nowhere to go. Anyways,
wow.
He was saying, man, can you know, it's funny because he kept saying to me, man, can you imagine if it rained? Can you imagine if it rained, how much movement there's going to be? So I'm sure it's going to, you know, it was like when we hunted, it was just hot. You know, it was fun. It was great to be out, but it just didn't have that feel in the air. Mm-hmm. And I know Tony was saying that he was feeling that some cool weather and some moisture would really be what turned things around and kicked it off. So sure. I'd trust him more than I trust me on that, man.
Yeah, yeah. So you scale of 1 to 10, if you had to pick a number, based off of whatever excitement you might have thinking about scrapes and the cold front coming in, the time of year, those kind of things, what would you put buck movement at on a scale of 1 to 10 next week?
Oh, well, I guess I'd have to say that when my time there, I guess I'd have to say that it was 3 or 4. So it's going to be way higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be way higher than that. I mean, it's happening, man. Here's the thing is it's going to, you know, you got the inescapable reality of like length of day. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say you had a heat wave and that heat wave lasted the next month. Deer are going to get bred. Right.
Right.
So it's going to happen. They're going to get out. If within that window, if they can pick cool, you know, moisture, cool temperatures, they're going to maximize on that right time. So why not? It's the perfect time.
Sure. Sure. Well, cool, man. Well, congrats on the success up there, man. Thanks for hopping on the phone with us as a busy dude. And we'll hopefully see you shooting some more whitetail soon, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And thanks for having me on. And just to clarify, you guys know this game better than me, but I appreciate you letting me weigh in on it.
For sure, man. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take care.
On the phone now, I've got Chris B. He's one of my good friends. He is up in Michigan, the home state, doing some hunting. Well, the old home state, right?
Old home state,
yeah. Yeah, the origin of Chris B., man.
Yeah. How's the capital of the world.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. How's the hunting up there right now?
It's been good. This is my third day now, and actually afternoon sits have been pretty dang good. They're starting to bump does around and stuff. We had a pretty nice buck last night just plow through the field chasing after a doe, and then we never saw him the rest of the night. But they're definitely feeling it. Morning sits have been slow for some reason. I was kind of hopeful, but kind of seems like, you know, we're not quite to where they're on that morning, you know, or they're juiced up. So afternoon sitting food, you know, is still kind of the play, but they're definitely feeling it.
Yeah. What kind of food are you sitting?
So thankfully, one of my buddies here in Michigan, he put in some good food plots. So we're sitting over just brassicas, you know, and there's also cornfields and bean fields and stuff. So we just kind of been switching all around. The acorns, I don't know about you guys or what you've been hearing, but they've been really, really good this year. So not, you know, I feel like that sometimes throws a wrench in stuff because they're kind of mixed up and more in the woods for food sources and whatnot.
Yeah, it seems like that where we're from a little bit right now, but I didn't think it was going to be a great crop. So who knows, man? But for you, have you seen more action on green food sources or grain up there?
We have seen more on green, I would say, if I had to put it on. A lot of the corn here is still standing. And I'm sure if they cut it here, it's been wet though. But I'm sure if they cut it here the next week, they'll switch over pretty hard to, you know, the fresh cut corn. They always do, you know. But yeah, right now, I mean, if you got good food plots, it seems like they've been hammering them.
Yeah. So we got some weather rolling through the U.S. you know, in the upcoming week here. Are you going to focus on pinch points, or are you thinking still more like we're in that kind of scrape time period right now, you know, as kind of we get a cold front that pushes through?
Yeah, this is scrape week, I like to call it. You know, it's last week of October. Now through Halloween, it's like find a fresh scrape next to a food source, especially for afternoons. You know, morning, if you want to sit mornings, kind of October 25th is my start of morning hunts. I've been cheating a little bit and hunting in the mornings early because I got limited time here. But that's, you know, October 25th when I really start doing mornings, because they will start, you know, trying to find the local does a little bit, or at least get fired up. But you know, just starting, we shot a pinch this morning and just had a terrible morning. So we should have not done that. So I think it just depends on your area too. You know, if you get a hot doe that comes in early for some reason and kind of gets bucks fired up a little earlier than usual, but scrapes, I mean, right now it's scrape, scrape, scrape.
It's hard to not get jumpy on that stuff, man. You know, we're all just so keyed up on it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the tactic of the scrape. Are you trying to be able to shoot the scrape? Are you finding access trails to that? Or what are you thinking whenever it comes to like sitting up on that thing?
Yeah, so good example right now is we have, it's actually like a down oak tree on the edge of this big, maybe 1 acre food plot, and all over the edge of the oak tree, you know, hanging out in the field is just like five scrapes all torn up. So we got, you know, a stand right on the edge of the food plot with that at about 20 yards. I like to shoot scrapes, at least one of them, you know, if it's a scrape line, you know, set up to where obviously you're not gonna booger the spot up. But yeah, I mean, I love shooting deer on scrapes because they're one, distracted, and two, it's a good probability you're gonna have a good range on them, and they're gonna be standing still for you for a minute. So you know, I'm all about just hunting right on the scrape, or you know, the trail plus the scrape. You know, a trifecta of food, scrape, trail would be, you know, perfect world.
I like it. I like multiplying my variables there. Now, based off of like weather variables or lunar or just even time of year, in the next week in Michigan, what's the buck movement going to be like? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be better? And if you had to rank it on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you put it at?
You know, I think it's just the time of year where it is going to be good regardless of weather. I mean, we're getting there. It's no longer, you know, good weather is going to help, but we're getting into the rut soon. And it's like, you just got to be in a tree. It's good to have good weather. It'll enhance the hunting, but they're going to do deer things regardless is how I kind of look at it. I think we got some cold weather coming in soon, though, and that'll help. I mean, it was 30 degrees this morning. It was kind of like the first hard frost, and I honestly think it kind of shocked deer. Like deer were like, ooh, it's cold, you know, and just kind of, I feel like that first hard frost, they really don't move as much as you would think. But I think, you know, these next couple hard, you know, this next hard snap is gonna be good. I think it's gonna get them fired up.
Cool. Scale of 1 to 10 if you had to rate it.
I mean, I love this week up to Halloween. I'm gonna say like a 7.
Oh yeah,
let's go, dude.
I mean, especially if you got a good local buck. I mean, this is the time to kill your local bucks.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, or nocturnal buck. He's been nocturnal all October. You get a good weather snap, and you know, you got him on camera at night hitting scrapes. It's like, this is the time. Hunt those scrapes and get a good weather, and he's gonna slip up. You know.
Yep. Yep. For sure, man. Well, Chris, I hope it goes well for you up there in Michigan and wherever else you go the rest of the year, and I appreciate you hopping on and giving us the report.
Yeah, guys. Good talking.
Get him, man.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here, because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options, like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription, and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold saying. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Okay, on the phone here, we've got Sam Brogan Hogan. What's going on, Brogan?
Oh, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's been a while since I've actually talked to you, but you and I keep up on, you know, just passing on social media. And, dude, it looks like giants just follow you around, dude.
I like to think I follow them around, but
well, you're pretty good at that too.
Situation, they definitely made it a little easier on me.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. You shot a giant up in Ohio, and, you know, it looked like the pictures looked just like fall is there. Are you seeing many acorns dropping, or what's going on in the woods there?
You got to be careful not to roll your ankles out there. Hold on, I got that. The acorns are big, round, and slippery.
You can't even continue talking after you say that.
No, I had to stop.
It's so dishonest.
But actually, I mean, they are hot, but where I was hunting was largely maples. It was there weren't many oaks. It was walnuts and maples. But in other properties I've hunted, the oaks are just going nuts right now.
So that's kind of, we've seen a lot of people, especially in like northern states, that are seeing that right now. Is that affecting what you were doing hunting that funnel that you were hunting this this week?
Yeah, it when it's so widespread, it's really hard to key in on like one producing tree or one producing stand. So what I was frankly, I switched a little bit to rut hunting tactics, and I was at a spot where a couple big ridges came together, and fortunately it came together for me.
That's cool, dude. So, you know, it's weird how some of those acorns or acorns, how they will be yellow sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the corn flavored one.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So talk about like the, you know, truly the tactics involved in that. Like how do you find a place to put it? What are you thinking there?
Yeah, so this was a obviously it's private property in Ohio where I killed this buck, and corn piles are legal. So for us, it was largely an intel. Like we hadn't hunted this place in previous years, so it was a new farm, and it was just seeing what was in the area, mm-hmm. And putting them in semi-strategic areas where they're going to be anyway, but you're just ensuring they're going to be in front of your camera.
So whenever you do that, essentially you're hunting a deer that just found a new food source. It's not like you were drawing deer in for miles to like a 2,000 pound pile, right? It's kind of more just like a, hey, let's get him in front of the camera type deal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I live in Michigan, so hunting down in Ohio, it's, I'd have to be a much stronger man to get 2,000 pounds of corn to one spot up in them hills. So,
yeah, that makes sense. So I want to talk a little bit about, how you strategize shots and stuff in those big hills. Are you setting up a spot like that? So say you have a bait station or you just have a spot that you want to hunt. Are you trying to set up where you can shoot a lot of trails, or are you trying to set up where you can shoot the spot, or are you, you know, just finding the tree and might have to take a 45-yard shot, or what does that look like?
Well, this particular situation was, the top of the ridge wasn't like one trail. It was 100 yards wide. So I was banking on them doing kind of getting a little ruddy. It was the 23rd when I killed them. And I had rattling antlers and a grunt tube in the tree. And I learned from you guys to make sure that the yellow acorns are within shooting range. I remember that. And back in Kansas, I think it was like 17.
Gosh,
or
dude, you don't remind me of that.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that, Casey. But yeah, I always make sure I've got a shot to it. I don't like being right on top of it. I mm-hmm. like being 30, 35 yards away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I set up so the wind obviously isn't going there, because your likelihood of getting does, fawns, little bucks, something you're not really going to shoot, is pretty high.
Yeah.
That they're going to be right there. So I set it up with that in mind, but also with all the trails that coming through, my wind dropping into one of those bottoms where if they're running the ridges, they're not going to get me.
Yeah. So in this week, based off of like variables that may affect deer or deer movement, do you foresee it being very similar? And on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the buck movement will be like?
Last year, I think I gave it like a 6.8, and then I killed a 150 the next year.
Okay.
The next day. So I'm going to give it an 8.
Ooh.
And it's warm until Friday, and then we got a real, real, real cold snap at the perfect time.
Oh, man.
So the 28th through, I mean, the foreseeable future. 28th is when it starts. Real cold. And,
rage.
Let's do it.
If Sam says, if you're listening to this and Sam says it's going to be an 8, you need to be in the woods.
That's right.
He is one of the most under the radar, quote unquote, experts at deer hunting that I've ever met in my life. So I appreciate.
You don't have to lie to the people.
Listen, I know you're a humble guy.
It ain't even deer either, dude. He's killed like pigs, yep. Elk. Dude, I'm telling you, Sam, just you are like.
I kill property. Piglets. Don't even do that.
Hey, you're going to be the next like Eberhardt, just like the guy who's got the following, man.
Yeah, real estate
years.
Market, dude. It don't That's matter. Right. You're an expert. Hey, thanks for hopping on the phone with us, Sam, and we'll hope that we get to talk to you again, maybe from Michigan sometime.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, now I've got Dave Skinner from Kentucky. He's with Whitetail Properties. Dave, you've been killing some bucks, it looks like, man.
Well, I got one on the ground. I shot one Sunday was a week ago.
Yeah, man. What was the weather like when you shot that deer?
Just a perfect October, mid-October cold front come through, got the deer on their feet really early in the day. Yeah, it was beautiful weather, had a good stiff north wind that day, and spit a little rain. He stepped out in the food plot like at 4:50 in the afternoon.
Wow,
like
baby.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What's in that food plot?
Not much of anything, really. It's a pretty poor food plot, and I will tell you what he stepped out there for was the Golden Acorns. That's what he stepped out there
Let's
for.
Let's go.
Yeah, it works, man.
It does
in,
work.
In Kentucky, we can bait. I'm not going to hide that fact. But, yeah, so he come out and get a belly full of corn.
Sounds awesome. Like you were pretty close to where he is living. I mean, if he's there at 4:50 in the afternoon, that's pretty early. Is that strategic that you were setting up close to where you thought that deer was core ranging at, or did it just happen to be something he adjusted to throughout the season?
So to be honest, that deer wasn't on my radar until the week before, and he started just showing up at that spot. And I actually took a kid in with me to hunt. He won't shoot, but I took a kid in with me, and we set up on him, and the wind just kind of messed us up. I think I would have killed him that week before had the wind been steady, but it was a lot warmer. He was coming out right at last light, and then the fast forward to next week, he had gone underground. I know he smelled us because he just disappeared after that. He'd been real regular. And fast forward a week, and this cold front was in, and I had just kind of, you know, I wasn't even thinking about hunting that deer. I say that I was trying to prepare a spot to kill him later on in the year once he was really doing what bucks do during the rut, mm-hmm. which is when I like to shoot them. But I was at the farm working, and he pops on a cell camera at 5 o'clock Saturday. And I'm like, buddy, if you're going to do that, I will be there tomorrow. Yep. The wind's going to be right. So sure as the world, that's what happened. The wind was still good. And I slipped in there the next day, and he done the same thing 2 days in a row, which don't happen very often.
Well, that's cool, man. So with that, I'm guessing, you're not seeing a ton of rutting activity. They're pretty consistent to feed. Have you seen any scrape action?
Yeah, the scrapes are really picking up. As a matter of fact, I got several bucks on scrapes last night on my cell cams. A new buck that I'm not familiar with showed up last night on a scrape. And yesterday, we had our muzzleloader weekend this weekend, so we shot some does over the weekend. And everywhere we went, there was fresh scrapes popping up. So they're really hitting them hard. And actually got a buck on camera this morning, dogging a doe in a food plot. So yesterday evening we were out, and it was crazy. We were trying to kill does, and I think we saw 5 bucks.
Wow.
And finally had a doe step in the food plot, a legit food plot at at right at very last light. And there was a 3-year-old buck in the food plot whenever she came in, and he kind of trotted over to her, and when she showed no interest, he just turned left. So yeah, they're starting to get a little frisky.
It feels a little chippy up there where you're at, man. That's cool. So if you were going to look forward to the next week, it sounds like you got some buck movement going. If you had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 for the next week on buck movement, what would you call it?
I'll be honest, our cold front's gone, and it's going to be pretty warm all week. I would probably try to get some chores done and be ready to hit it around Halloween. It looks like there's a front rolling through. I think it's supposed to hit here right about the 31st. So that's when I would concentrate. It's just too darn warm, I think. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of daylight activity, not saying it won't happen, but I think it'll get better around the 30th, 31st, something like that.
Okay. So give me that 1 to 10 number though. What are you going to call it right now?
Right now, man, it's pretty low. As far as rut action goes, I would say 3 maybe.
Hey, yeah. I like an honest answer, man. A lot of guys get a little bit too optimistic. That's reasonable. Yeah. Look forward to that cold front coming. Hey, Dave, we appreciate the info, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
That was a load of killer information. And if you need more killer information on how to kill a big giant buck, the Element Podcast is your place right now. We are doing a rut Q&A that is extremely extensive. A little alliteration for you there. We have like over 100 questions, mm-hmm. and we're going to have a lot of action-packed, a lot of knowledge-based information on that Q&A. So go check out the Element Podcast if you haven't, and subscribe while you're there. We really appreciate that. By the way, if you want something more in the textual form, Tony J. Peterson has an article on the Wired to Hunt feed on meteor.com that is about blind calling strategies for whitetails. And I don't think he means closing your eyes and rattling. So you better have to go check that out to see actually what works for calling for whitetails. By the way, Meat Eater Season 12 is out on the Meat Eater YouTube channel as well. Tyler, what else is happening?
The Element has been posting some whitetail content. We got a Nebraska video that you should go check out. It's insane. There's a 60-yard bomb in that thing. So you can either hate or you can go and love it. And there's going to be a lot more whitetail stuff coming onto the Element channel here pretty soon. In fact, Casey and I have to get off of here because we got to go look at four different videos and review them and make sure they are like we like them. And then we're going to put them out on YouTube. So check that out. And don't forget, stay fresh. This is Rut Fresh.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.